All right, nice to have everyone with us. And what a thrill as we have the manager of the 1986 San Francisco Giants, of course, a division winner in 87, a pennant winner in 89, and one of the beloved people in San Francisco Giants history. And that is the skipper himself, Roger Craig, is here. Roger, how are you?
All right. Thank you very much. Good. Nice to be here.
Great to see you. Boy, it's
nice to be anywhere at my age.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Roger, coming to the Giants, and people have to remember this. You know, Al Rosen brought you in at the end of 1985. We always concentrate on 86. But you didn't even know that he was thinking about making you a manager in 85, did you?
No, I didn't know that. In fact, he called me from Houston and wanted me to come down and see him all. He said, then when I decided to take the job, he said, I don't want you to manage the rest of the year. I want you to wait and start all over spring training. And I said, okay. But 2 days later, he said, get back up here. We want to see, get you to see what you got to do and things like that. So I managed the last 18 games.
1986 is such a special year, and we celebrate it today. And, Roger, going into spring training, you had rookies, you had young people, you had Candy Maldonado, you had all sorts of players to meld together. What did you see at that point?
Well, I saw Robbie Thompson, Will Clark, Jose Uribe. Well, Matt Williams came along a little bit later, but I remember Bob Lillis, my bench coach, in spring training. Al and I, we looked at about six or seven, eight second basemen, and Bob Lewis coming into the office one day in his real, very quiet voice, he said, I got your second baseman, Robbie Thompson. He's only played double-A baseball, he said. He's a major league ball player right now. And, you know, we took him and Will Clark, both from, Will played, I think, triple-A, and Robbie, and they stepped right into big league level, and along with the rest of the young guys, and Matt Williams came along a little bit later. And they blended right in there with Hackman and Chili and Mike Kruko, Bob Brindley. So we had, we didn't have a lot of big name players, but we had some players that were hum babies. They wanted to play. They wanted to win.
Roger Craig, the hum baby himself here at the public house. Well, obviously, Will Clark got off to a pretty good start, but did you have any idea going through spring training that this young, brash baseball player was going to have the impact that he did?
No, when he came down, He was an All-American, played on the Olympic team, but he wanted to be the manager. He wanted to tell me everything to do. No, not really. A couple of things I had to change with him. He wanted to play at first base, the ground ball hit to the first base. A lot of times he'd throw it overhand. I said, no, you take two or three steps and throw it underhand. He said, well, I would do this in college. I don't care what you did in college. He said, well, you'll do it this way now. But Will was a great hitter. He had one of the most beautiful swings you ever saw, and he's got a chance. He ought to be in the Hall of Fame. I think his lifetime batting average was over 300.
Yes, it is. Yeah. Roger Craig with us, the manager of the Giants, as we say, began in 85, and Roger had a great tenure here. Roger, Will Clark in his first game, and it's sort of one of those legendary moments.
Home run off of
Nolan Ryan.
Nolan Ryan over the center field. I think it's the first pitch he threw him.
Yeah, what did you think of that?
I said, man, we got a star. And I really couldn't believe it because he just swung so nice and easy, but his rhythm and everything did all the work. But he amazed me in a lot of things that he could do. You know, nothing bothered him. I remember in the playoff game, I think it was against the Cubs, and they had that big left-handed pitch and Mitch fouling everything off.
Sure.
He didn't care if you threw him 100 miles an hour, if he was left-handed, if he threw sidearm. He's going to hit the ball hard somewhere, and he did. A lot of things, he used to hit balls to right field, and the right fielder would catch it. He said, I hit that ball as hard as I can. I said, well, they got wind here. Got to hit it to left field.
The hum baby, how did that come about, the hum baby?
Well, you know, back when I was a kid, we didn't have Little League, and we just get a bunch of kids and start playing, and for some reason, a lot of us, when the pitcher would wind up, you'd start saying, come on, baby, come on, baby. And the faster you'd say it, and by the time he released the ball, you'd say, hum, baby, hum, baby. I don't know. I just carried with me that all through my pitching career and coaching, managing. And a lot of my players overdid it, though. They see a pretty girl walking down the aisle and said, that was a real hum, baby.
But you had a player, Brad Golden, yes. And he was one that impressed you, and that's how sort of they came about for the Giants.
You know, Brad was a kind of a guy you want on your ball club. He had limited ability, but he didn't leave nothing on the field. He played as hard as he can every game, and I've had a lot of players like him, but he was the first, and I just started saying, you're talking about a home baby. I said, watch the way he plays the game. Uh-huh. He didn't have the ability, but he played as hard as he could possibly play.
We have a lot of fun with Mike Kruko,
yeah,
and he was a big part of 20. You made him a 20-game winner. Of course, he had to pitch the games, but as he told me in that last game, he was 3 days rest, and he wasn't sure, and you looked him in the eye and said, you want to pitch this last game, and he is forever grateful for pitching that game against the Dodgers and Hershiser and winning that game. But tell us about Kruk and the clubhouse that you had there.
Yeah. Well, he was probably the most prominent guy I had in the clubhouse, him and Brindley. Mm-hmm. They were born team leaders. That, you know, I hear managers say, I'm going to make this guy my captain, and all. Most times it's their best player and all that. I said, I'm just going to see who surfaces from the pack. And they did, and they just did it on their own, and they were my leaders, and the players looked up to them. And they were not afraid to go in and tell the guy, say, you didn't run the ball out. You better run it out because you'll be in the minor league pretty soon. But they were so much help to me doing a lot of things that I didn't have to do.
Let me ask you, Roger. Mike Kruko, he's just such an institution with Giants baseball, and he's made a great career as a broadcaster. Was he a big talker when he played, when he laced him up and wore the stirrups? Was he a big talker then?
Yeah, he was, and that's one reason he was a good leader, because, he's talking, he'd kid and all tell jokes, but when it got down to the nitty-gritty, he'd let them know what he really thought. And him and Brindley both were, without even thinking, they're not afraid to tell a guy right during the game, you know, you're not hustling. If you don't hustle, you're going to be in the minor leagues. But he was a big talker, and in fact, I just saw him on a golf cart, and I'm really sorry about his problems that he has, but... Yeah, he was I told him when I left here, I said, if I ever manage again, you're going to be my pitching coach.
All right.
And he thanked me for that.
That's great.
If Roger Craig is with us, the hum baby, the manager of the Giants. Great to have you here, really. Roger, you know, and people remember it. It's the old story of Casey Stengel when he talked to Mantle and showed him how to play the wall at Ebbets Field. And Mantle looked at him and said, how do you know that? And Casey said, what do you think, I was born 70? I used to play here. And you pitched, and you came up with the Brooklyn Dodgers in 1955 with Don Bessent and pitched a doubleheader with Don Bessent, won those two games in 55, and that was the year the Dodgers won the World Series. Coming up as a kid in those days, had you seen a major league game before?
No, I hadn't, and I remember Tommy Lasorda and I, we were playing for Montreal, but we were playing in Havana, Cuba, and we played a doubleheader, and we both pitched a shutout in the and Tommy had a little bit of major league experience, but I hadn't, and they called me to the big leagues, and he hates me now just for that. But you know, that was the first game I'd ever saw, and I remember Carl Erskine telling me in the outfield, they said, everybody wants to know how you did that. You'd never seen a major league game. He said, you were not afraid. You hadn't seen too many games. Anyway, somebody in the stands called and said, hey, Craig, you're a bomber. You'll be back in AAA pretty soon. And Carl said, that means they love you. But Jackie Robinson was unbelievable. He was one of the greatest men I ever met in my life. And, yes, after that ball game, he gave me a ride to the airport because I didn't know where I was going. And I got going back to Montreal to pick up my wife and baby and bring them back. But to be with him 2.5 years was probably one of the greatest things that ever happened to me. He could have been the President of the United States if he'd have lived.
Roger Craig with us. Roger, what about playing against Willie Mays and the Giants in those days? And, then, of course, then you managed the Giants against the Dodgers. You've seen both sides of this rivalry, and we've got a game today.
Well, everybody knows Willie Mays is one of the greatest, if not the greatest player that ever played. And, you know, Willie McCovey could hit a line drive harder than anybody I've ever seen, him and Mickey Mantle. And Willie McCovey had never said much, and Willie, and you know, once in a while I'd have to pitch inside, and I'd throw the ball up under Willie's chin like this. He said, Roger, you can throw it my head all you want to, because I ain't going to be there.
Very good. Yeah. Very good. We have a special guest on the line for you, And he was your third baseman in 1956 and came over from the Chicago Cubs. And he joins us today. And, Roger, say hello to Randy Jackson.
Oh, Roger!
My roomie. I got your book.
Yeah.
It's a great book.
You know, Roger, you were my idol when I was growing up.
No. You're older than me.
That's true. Listen, you were a great roommate. I really enjoyed our days and weeks and so forth. You're a great guy.
Well, that's enough. I appreciate that book, and I want to get back to you, and because I might have that. I'm going to write a book, and I've been talked about it for 15, 20 years. People want me to write a book, and I might get that guy to do it for me because he did a good job on you, and you weren't worth it.
I didn't understand what you said.
Well, you don't want to understand it.
He said you weren't worth it, but he was only kidding.
I knew what he said.
Randy, hey. Good to hear from you, buddy. You sound good.
Good to hear from you, Roger. You doing all right?
Yeah, I'm doing pretty good. I shot 82 the other day.
All right.
That's great. Almost your age, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm 95 now, I think.
Oh, you are not. I'm older than you.
People ask, well, I said, how old are you? I said, I don't know.
Roger, what kind of player is Randy Jackson?
Yeah.
Randy was a great player. He was, you know, I didn't realize he was such a, he was a great football player and a good athlete and, in the South. But Randy had those real soft hands, and the hardest ball hit to him, he'd make it look easy, and he really did a good job for us at Brooklyn, and he and I became roommates and good friends, and we still are.
Very good. Randy, a pleasure having you back on, and again, thanks. we're going to get you back on. We enjoyed having you. Thank you for coming back.
Thanks,
on.
Randy.
Well, this was a thrill for me, Roger. Take care, buddy.
All okay, right. I love you, man.
All right,
hey,
that is
bye-bye.
Randy Jackson.
Cool.
Boy, you know, this is your life with Ralph Edwards. Remember that show? And next we have your high school teacher. No, we don't. We don't have that.
No.
But coming to the Giants, for you, I guess, was a big thrill. And, again, you were a New York Met. You were a Dodger. You were a Cardinal. You know, you had so many, of course, the Tigers and what you did, it was wonderful with that pitching staff. But all of a sudden, did you ever think you'd ever be a Giant? Did you ever think that was going to be in your future?
No, well, you never think about it. In fact, I never thought about managing. In fact, I was a pitching coach for the
Tigers.
The Padres. And Alvin Dark was a manager who played for the Giants. And I never thought about managing. One day, the general manager saw me going to get a paper early in the morning, and we were training at Yuma, Arizona, and he said, what time you go to the ballpark? I said, well, I'm on the way now. He said, okay, I'll see you over there. So I get to the ballpark, and Alvin Dark comes in, and he said, I want everybody to come in. He had a separate office from the coaches. He said, everybody come into my office except for Roger. I said, oh, my God, what did I do now? And I heard him say that he'd been let go, and Roger's an interim manager, and that's the way it started. I had never even thought about, man, I just want to be a real good pitching coach.
Wow, and you were one of the best and one of the best managers in Giants history, Pat. Go ahead.
Yeah, and Roger, I know we're here to celebrate the 86 Giants who came back and won 83 games after a 100-loss season in 85. But I got to ask you about the 89 World Series. And my colleague at KNBR, Brian Murphy, wrote a great 50-year anniversary book, and there's a tale that involves you that captured my imagination. Obviously, the earthquake hit at Candlestick and in the Bay Area, a very tragic disaster. But as you're leaving the stadium and you got into a pickup truck with your wife, you're going down the highway and there's bumper-to-bumper traffic. Do you remember what you did after that?
I remember somebody coming up beside us in my truck, and he said, Roger, I just got married, and here's my wife. Would you have a glass of champagne with us? We're riding down the freeway, and I'm drinking champagne with her.
Now, if that ain't home, baby, I don't know what is.
This is an original. I want to tell you, this is a baseball original and an original, man. Roger, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you
very much. Thank you.
What a pleasure. More coming up.